Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for a vacationing Brian Lehrer. If you're not a foodie, a farmer, or a locavore, you may not know about the controversy surrounding the sale of raw milk. That's milk straight from the cow that has not been pasteurized. Conventional wisdom says it's a source of dangerous bacteria, but proponents say raw milk contains valuable enzymes and immune-boosting healthy bacteria. The sale of raw milk is regulated by a patchwork of state laws. For example, in New Jersey, it's illegal to sell raw milk anywhere. In New York, you can buy raw milk on a farm. Connecticut is one of the few states where raw milk can be sold in stores. This may soon change. After an outbreak of E. coli last summer, which was traced to raw milk, legislators are considering restricting the sale of raw milk to farms and farmers' markets. We'll be talking with a Connecticut legislator who opposes that change shortly. But first, we want to look at why raw milk inspires such passion, pro and con. With me now is Marion Nessel. She's a professor of nutrition and public health at NYU and author of Food Politics: How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, which is now out in paperback. Dr. Nessel, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, glad to be here.
We know this issue has many people feel very strongly about this issue. We're already getting lots of comments on our website, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show, add your comments. We've noticed that someone encouraged lots of Twittering about this segment of our show. We'd like to hear your point of view. Are you a raw milk drinker? Why do you think raw milk is dangerous? Any dairy farmers out there, give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Dr. Nessel, let's start with talking about pasteurization and what it does to milk.
Well, let's start with the whole point of this. And I have to say, strong feelings is an understatement. When it comes to raw milk, the level of passion and ideology just leaves me breathless. And that's on both sides of the argument.
Yeah, I've got my umpire's uniform on. I'm fully protected, well padded for this debate. Let's go.
There'll be lots of comments. I can't give a talk without having somebody come up and hand me documents on one side or the other of the issue. The pasteurization business started because raw milk was a source of tuberculosis and brucellosis, and this was in the early part of the 20th century. Most of the, an enormous percentage, a quarter or more of the cases of food poisoning were due to raw milk until it was pasteurized. So pasteurization solved a lot of that problem, and milk now accounts for just a tiny percentage, 1% or less, of the outbreaks of foodborne illness.
Where does the
pasteurization... Pasteurization has been a very, very important public health measure, and we can't discount that.
Well, where does the bacteria come from, though, Dr. Nessel? It's not in the milk when it comes out of the cow, right? I mean,
it's on the skin of the cow. Cows' bodies aren't sterile. They're full of bacteria. And if you have cows that are standing around in a lot of cow waste, then the bacteria can spread. Clean cows are going to have fewer bacteria than dirty cows, but there's a lot of dirty cows around. And they're just normal on the skin. Some of them are perfectly harmless, and then occasionally under certain circumstances, the bacteria that can get into milk are very harmful. Not always and rarely, but it happens.
Can you test raw milk to make sure it's free from dangerous bacteria, and is that
sure,
done in places where it's legal?
You can, and I think you should.
Yeah.
But, I'm greatly in favor of producing safe food, and I can't think of any reason why raw milk can't be produced safely. But I would like the producers of raw milk to follow standard science-based food safety plans, just like I would like the producers of all food to follow standard science-based food safety plans.
Part of the issue here is that foodborne illnesses can be transmitted to people who don't consume the food itself. If you read the New York Times article about the proposed Connecticut law, it mentioned a child who had contracted E. coli from someone else who drank raw milk. So do you see this as a public health issue and not just a matter of individual choice?
Well, it is a public health issue, but I think it's also a matter of individual choice. And I'm actually not opposed to people drinking raw milk as long as they're willing to take the risk for it and deal with it responsibly. But the problem is you can't count on everybody dealing with this responsibly. Just doesn't work that way. So as a public health measure, pasteurization works really well.
So let's start with some calls. John from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, I grew up drinking raw milk my entire life. And when I moved to New York, as I was telling the person who answers the phone, I now buy about 2 gallons of raw milk a week upstate in Orange County. I don't really get what the big problem is. Well, for someone who's never drunk raw milk in their life, the first time you have it, it's going to affect you one way or another, given the composition of the milk as opposed to what milk that has been pasteurized. But to stay on the safer side, as anything else, when you get raw milk, you know, all, what I've known all my life is you have to boil the milk first before you can consume it.
John, where did you grow up again?
I grew up
in
Kenya.
That's pasteurization.
So you were boiling milk, the raw milk, before you drank it?
Yeah, I boil it, and I don't take out the cream the way they would do in a milk.
Oh, that's different.
That's homogenization.
That's homogenization. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, you were actually practicing the process that most milk goes through here in the United States by boiling the milk in the first place.
Yeah, I boil it, but the thing at the end, the taste of the milk is completely different from what you buy in the store. And if I have the feeling that most of the milk you buy from the store, most of it is not pure milk because you have all this fortified stuff added to it. You have something like I've seen in stores called the Skim Plus. You know, mm-hmm. I don't understand how they would make milk, you know, the way it is. So milk should just be a natural product, and all this hoopla, I don't know, they should just leave everybody to their own devices, and everybody should be accountable to themselves instead of government stepping in and trying to be accountable for everybody else.
John, thank you for that call. Dr. Nessel, John was mentioning it tastes different. There
oh,
are
absolutely.
health claims made about the benefits of drinking raw milk, although one can argue whether he was truly drinking raw milk since he boils it. Are those health claims supported by scientific research?
Some yes, some no. First of all, I think there was a mixing of two issues there, homogenization and pasteurization. Pasteurization is just heating the milk up to a temperature that kills most, not all bacteria, kills most of the bacteria, and allows the milk to be preserved for a longer period of time and kills most. The homogenization is the business of mixing the cream in, and there's no question that raw milk tastes different. It tastes like the cow that produced it. And if you're drinking milk from one cow, the milk is going to taste different. And one of the things that the people who like raw milk so much say is that it tastes so much better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a reasonable, you know, that's completely reasonable.
But does it overshadow the public health concern?
It might or might not. I mean, there's so much ideology involved in this, it's very difficult to sort it out. The proponents of raw milk say that the pasteurization kills the enzymes and kills helpful protein and kills healthy bacteria. Well, healthy bacteria are going to get killed along with unhealthy
right.
ones. And there again, it depends on how it's being produced. I don't see any reason why raw milk can't be produced safely. There'll still be a risk, but it's a small risk, and if people want to take it, that's fine.
Let's bring into the conversation Diane Urban. She's a Connecticut Democratic state legislator, a lifelong raw milk drinker who opposes any change in the Connecticut law. Representative Urban, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, and actually it's Diana.
Hi, Diana. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Diana Urban, tell me about your lifelong love affair with raw milk.
Well, actually, I might also add that by training, I'm an economist, and I'm also the chairman of the Children's Committee for the Connecticut General Assembly. I grew up on Long Island, and for people out there, they might remember Schwank's Milk. That was my maiden name. Schwank's Dairy was the whole east end of Long Island. And not only did I grow up drinking raw milk, but we grew up chasing chickens and pouring our hearts out to herds of very attentive cows.
sounds like an idyllic childhood.
So it you've been drink, was.
You've been drinking raw milk all your and you didn't boil it like John from Manhattan did.
Absolutely not. And you know, I'd just like to make a comment here. The what happened at Town Farm Dairy in Simsbury was really a problem with management of the farm itself. The bottles of milk that were at the store where the person bought them who got sick were not labeled raw milk. They did not have the warning on it. That is in violation of our law. And the farm itself was being a change in management, and they were not aware of the extraordinary cleanliness that has to take place when you're producing raw milk. And I would just suggest to you that there was an outbreak in Massachusetts with pasteurized milk, and that came about because of mishandling of the milk. And that's what happened here. The milk was mishandled. When the cows are kept in the pristine condition that our raw milk farmers keep them, there is a very, very low risk. And you know, when I say low, look at the problem we had with peanuts, with tomatoes, with spinach. I can't guarantee that our food is going to be 100% safe as your legislator.
Isn't part of that problem, though, with tomatoes and spinach and particularly peanuts, is the whole industrialization of that food chain. When we're talking about raw milk, we're really talking about a small number of providers.
Yeah.
So are you saying that an E. coli outbreak from raw milk is less likely to be as widespread as, say, a salmonella outbreak with tomatoes that are processed by the millions of tons on huge factory farms, affecting millions of people?
I couldn't say it any better, and I am a huge fan of diversification and small family farms, and certainly we all know that our federal support system is backwards. You know, the larger the farm is, and that's what I call agribusiness, the more federal support they're getting, and our small family businesses and farms are being forced out. And well, that's what I don't want to see in the state of Connecticut.
Well, how is that forcing them out, though? It's not as if Connecticut wants to ban raw milk. It just wants to restrict its sales to farms and farmers markets. So how does that squeeze out the little guy?
It squeezes out the little guy because the margin at which they are living on the profit that they can make, and I'm sure you're aware of our normal dairy farms in the state of Connecticut. Right now we're looking at legislation because we're going to lose them because the cost of producing milk is less than the price of what the stores are
right,
asking
I understand some farmers are selling off their cows for slaughter, yeah.
But with raw milk, people are willing to pay that premium in order to get raw milk and the farm practices that have to be followed in order to produce raw milk. So what I'm suggesting is that the initial law or regulations that Department of Ag was promulgating would have cost each farmer $1,000 per cow per year in testing. And that testing from people that I talked to from University of Michigan, from the sisters at the Benedictine Monastery, Sister Hinckley, who has a PhD in microbiology, that the testing was simply not going to up the level of safety, but it was going to put every one of my raw milk farmers out of business. Remember, I said $1,000 a cow, so some of them are milking 10, some of them are milking 20.
All right,
that's $10,000 to $20,000.
So maybe remove the burden of the testing, but still, although I don't understand how the bill, if it would require farmers to just sell from their farm or from farm stands rather than through local grocery stores, I still don't understand how that gets at the public health issue. People will still be drinking it, and conceivably, people could still be passing E. coli on to some unsuspecting kid who didn't drink raw milk.
Yeah, it's silly. And one of the things that they were talking about is that people can't tell the difference, even though it's labeled and there's a sign. Well, where I buy raw milk at my local health food store, it's $7 a half gallon. But you don't think you're going to notice that when you go up to pay for it?
Mm. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. We're talking about raw milk and its pros and cons. Dr. Marion Nessel is a professor of nutrition and public health at NYU. Diana Urban is a state representative from Connecticut. They're joining us in this debate, and we want to hear from you. Please give us a call at 433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. I'm so used to giving out the number for our pledge drives instead. Lenore from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling. We were leaving the Berkshires and driving back to New York, and I saw a sign on the road that says $2 a gallon for raw milk. And I stopped in, and the milk was yellow. I'm a big milk drinker, first of all. I drink milk probably at least 2 glasses a day at a minimum. And the milk was very good. I had no problems with bacteria, and I'm a person who goes to the farmer's market and buys organic milk in the glass bottles every Saturday morning at Prospect Park. I would like to have known, though, that there was, issues with bacteria, and I think legislation would probably assist in providing, the big warnings on the label.
Lenore, are you not going to drink raw milk anymore?
I think I'm probably going to stay away from raw milk. I think I'll just go and continue to buy my milk from the farmer's market that's pasteurized.
Thanks for that call. I want to
Could I comment on that? Lenore, first of all, thanks so much for going to farmer's markets. If we can, encourage people to buy local, it's going to be the best thing possible for the New England region. In Connecticut, that bottle of milk would have to be labeled. It would have to stay raw milk, and it would also have to tell you that when you're drinking raw milk, that all of the pathogens or all of the bacteria, are not going to be completely killed because it's not pasteurized. So you would have been fully informed as to what you were drinking.
We have a good question from the web. Robert from New York City wants to know, are the chances of getting a disease such as E. coli or bacterial infection from E. coli from drinking raw milk greater than getting it from meat? Dr. Nessel, I think you would say that chance is low, right? You said earlier that
the chance is low. Milk is not a major source of outbreaks of E. coli, of the harmful forms of E. coli.
What about raw milk, though?
Well, it's, the numbers are so low in both cases, and so few people drink raw milk relative to the people who drink pasteurized milk, that it's hard to say. It's the incidence is very low, but it could be higher in raw milk. It's hard to know.
He's arguing that
we don't have those kinds of statistics very well followed in this country.
He's arguing that if the chances are higher to get E. coli from raw meat, why aren't we pasteurizing our meat? And I think there is a push from certain segments of the
raises a whole set of other
problems.
I mean, again, I don't see why we can't produce meat safely, and I don't see why we can't produce milk safely. This requires following standard science-based food safety plans, sometimes with testing. But in any case, we don't have a food safety system in this country that requires the producers of these foods to do this, or in the case of meat, where it is required, it's not enforced very well.
Representative Urban, you worked on a farm. Is good hygiene the key? Is that the is that the one and only way?
If you clean the
cow enough, this won't be an issue?
Well, I think, specifically to raw milk, yes. But when I'd like to agree with a good doctor, one of the issues here, and it's a function of the cost. I mean, if I told you how much it would cost to actually be in every single one of those factory farms, if you're aware of what they actually allow on the killing floor and the type of feces that is thrown around as these poor animals are brought into the slaughter, it's frightening. And we don't have the wherewithal, and certainly the taxpayer is not willing to pay for massive armies of regulators to be at every factory farm in every slaughterhouse. So I would like to see us go back to diversification with smaller farms where it is we are far more able to have, you know, quality control. And in essence, they're more humane. And I'll tell you what, everybody tells me, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm not, I can't speak to this, but everybody tells me that when the animals are raised in that situation, that everything tastes better.
Happy meat tastes better. Rosalind from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say I was a New Yorker for 11 years. I was raising two children by myself who were both diagnosed with, one with ADD and one with ADHD, and medication for me was not an option, and I did a lot of research, and I decided to leave the city to go and get a little farm with my husband that I married, and we got a little farm. As I started to accumulate animals, chickens and cows, I found out in my research that raw milk straight from the cow has more omega-3s than we could ever produce to get into the system of an individual.
And so you're drinking raw milk now.
We are drinking raw milk. We don't boil it. My boys will go out with a cup full of Nestle quick and squeeze it right into the cup and drink chocolate milk.
Okay, Representative Urban, can you beat that? Did you do that when you were a kid?
Rosalind, I can't beat that, but I just wanted to comment on it. I admire you so much for what you did for your children, and I wish that we could go down that road more often than just immediately giving them drugs.
Yes.
What about their,
yes.
you know, well, anyway, so I just want to know, tell you that I admire you, and no, I can't beat that one.
No, you know, we can't. The industrialization of all of these products, it diminishes, you know.
Right,
all
well,
it,
but
God
the,
made it perfect.
The industrialization, Rosalind, the industrialization, though, helps feed millions and millions of people.
Right.
Part of that process is to help stave off food shortages and to allow people to benefit from, you know, tomatoes in January. One can argue about the larger socioeconomical and political repercussions of that choice, but industrialization does have its place in a world with 7 billion people.
Family farm is the only way to go, and that's why we're suffering all the issues we are in our nation. We've too much industrialized. We've gotten away from the basic concept of what this country was made. We were made to be agricultural. We've become industrialized, and that's why there's a decline in education, in homes, in everything.
Thank you so much, Rosalind, for that call. I wanted to move on to another comment we got from our web from Lewis, and this is for Dr. Nessel. Lewis writes, I suspect that organic milk would be closer to raw milk in terms of content. Can you address the difference and if there's any health issues, pro or con, organic milk versus raw milk?
Well, organic milk is produced under rules that are set by the Department of Agriculture for the way the cows are fed and the way they are raised. And those rules, if they allow the cows to be outside on pasture, will take care of the omega-3 problem. But raw milk is can be either organic or industrial.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. It's just a question of whether it's pasteurized or not. It's going to be healthier if the cows are raised under really wonderful conditions. And, of course, we all wish that they could be. And the more movement we have in that direction, I think the better off we are.
Representative Urban, I wanted to wrap this up by circling back to Connecticut and this bill that's under consideration. Where does it stand? Do you think it's what's been the debate among your colleagues, and where do you think it's headed?
It's very interesting that you should ask that right now. We're actually on what's called our JF deadline for environment today, and if the bill doesn't get out of committee today, then it's what we call in the language of the legislature dead. And I do have in the realm of 25 to 26 votes out of 32 against the bill. So my suspicion is they won't even try to raise it today in committee because those kinds of numbers tell the story without actually calling for the vote.
Now, if this bill dies, remind me, is raw milk currently required in Connecticut to be labeled?
Right now, raw milk is required to have a label. It's required to have the warning on it, and you are required when you sell it in a store to have a small sign identifying, you know, in the little cooler that you're looking at raw milk. So there are three times you're supposed to be sure you know what it is that you're buying.
So individuals allowed to make a choice about whether they want to expose themselves and their kids to possible bacteria in raw milk. But again, Representative Urban, is there a larger public health concern for people who might get E. coli from somebody who drinks raw milk? Do you have a responsibility to help protect them from somebody else's choice?
Well, you know, I'm going to answer that in a more generalized fashion. There are pathogens all over the place. And I can't, as a legislature, be sure that you're not going to get exposed to those pathogens, whether it's in milk or whether it's in spinach or whether it's in the manure pile.
Right, or holding onto the pole of the subway.
Right, exactly. So, you know, what I can do is be assured that you have the information to make a choice for you and your family. And as a legislator, I feel that that is my responsibility.
Representative Diana Urban, a Democrat from Connecticut, joining me on WNYC. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Marion Nessel, thank you, professor of nutrition and public health at NYU and the author of Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, now out on paperback. Thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
The comments continue on our website, WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show.